okay. And so take it with a grain of salt. Peggy told me, you know, you have to please yourself. You won't please everybody. She's so right. Your sisters always know. And of course, she'll be the first one to say to me, why'd you say that? No, she really won't. She really won't. I'm just giving special recognition to my husband who came to church with me this morning, because church is gathered church is not always his thing, although he's very supportive. But he said his two favorite things were at church today, the cinnamon rolls I brought and his wife, Susan. So thank you for coming and bringing me this morning. The title of my talk is In Time of Trouble, the Sparrow, the Swallow, and cereal, Robbie said sternly. Neither of them moved. The clock was ticking. We had to go. We had to get the baby and the kids in their car seats in the cold, frozen back seat of the car for our first ever trip as a family of five. Eat your cereal, he said, even more sternly. No response. On the third eat your cereal came the sound no parent ever wants to hear, the gulp, the cough, and then the swift and full-on evidence that without warning, the stomach flu had come to the Ackerman household. There was no cereal eaten in our kitchen that morning, but the next thing I remember was opening the doors to Warwick River Mennonite Church 4 hours later, hearing the warm hum of voices and footsteps as people visited on their way into the services. I know I roll with stomach flu. Yeah, but that's what we did. We had driven from Timberville to Denby in time for church, and we were safe at last within the gates of God's house. Our church family, though we had moved away months before, had covered us in prayer and caring during the recent difficult months. I don't remember anything about the church service, the sermon. I don't even know who spoke. I don't remember who the pastor was. Later that day, Robbie and I both succumbed to the kids' stomach flu. We spent the next week in bed, each at our different parental homes a mile apart down here, handing the baby and children off to eager grandmothers. We had been in no condition to make a 200-mile drive that morning. The compulsion to arrive at Warwick River with our pathetic little family by church time is something I cannot explain. But I think David must have felt the same way when he said in Psalm 84, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. A quick reflection about the little one I brought in my arms to church that morning. Even today, God and the internet willing, I'm not sure about that. I think I can count on God, but I'm not sure about the internet. She is joining our prayers at this very service from the storm-ravaged Yukon Delta in Alaska. God is good, and may she find comfort and strength just like her mommy did that cold morning 44 years ago in this same congregation. And this is a special morning with Ken's passing last night. I just want to give heartfelt thanks to Ken and Twyla, especially knowing he's gone to be with the Lord that he prayed to without ceasing. His prayer just weeks ago when I was visiting him, that God would supply Anya's every need. Every need, his strong voice emphasized again, was answered in an amazing way last week. And her prayers, hospice nurse as she is at heart, for his release from suffering have also been answered. This is church. This is why we gather. Churches come in all kinds of buildings, plain and fancy. Some churches have no walls or roofs, some are in homes. There are many reasons for a church to exist, many missions. But the comforting, powerful presence of God in a loving church family is what makes all the other issues worth pursuing. In the hierarchy of needs we hear about, we understand that it's hard to concentrate on theological questions when our lives and the lives of people we love are threatened in some way. We need comfort, we need hope, we need help. How many people over the years, or even last week or this week, have come into our midst here at Warwick River, hurting in some way, and have gone away uncomforted? How many of us who should be comforting others by God's grace are too shadowed with our own grief, pain, worry, or loss of some sort, even to be able to reach out? That has been true of me. Some time ago when John Dye asked me if I would be an elder, I said no. Where in my already burdened heart was there the capacity to guard and care for others in my church family? But time heals and things change. We look to Jesus as he models caring. I'm pretty sure he too was grieved, pained, and worried during his earthly ministry. But here is where his story of the lost sheep comes in. In the pathetic family story I just dared to tell, I could identify with the sheep he talks about going to find in Luke 15. We were lost because we were sick, weak, worried, lonely, and we missed the security of our home church and the church family who cared about us. We don't know why the sheep in Jesus' story was lost. She might have been easily distracted by a bright butterfly and just wandered off. Maybe she wasn't too bright. Maybe her mama had died and no one was checking on her to see if she could keep up. The other 99 seemed to be fine for the moment. The shepherd thought they could take care of themselves together there in the wilderness. But what if the rest of the flock was actually the reason the last lost sheep was lagging behind? What if her wool was the wrong color? What if she kicked up her hooves just a little too high for a girl sheep? What if she didn't follow exactly where the stern elder rams had led? What if her feelings had been hurt? Maybe the work of the shepherd had more to it than locating the lost sheep geographically. I think he had some healing to do on the way home. And you know how he did it. Not apparently with a little peach twig switch around her legs to teach her a lesson. No, he carried the sheep, let's say a lamb, across his shoulders, belly up against his neck, where they could feel each other's heart speeding. The shepherd loved the other 99 too. I imagine there were a few safe in the flock that breathed a big sigh and relaxed a little, knowing that if they got lost, the shepherd would come find them too. Their faith in the good shepherd was strengthened. Last week,